Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey folks, welcome into another episode of Prep Rally here for the next 15 or 20 minutes with you to talk high school sports. I'm Brad with Dalton on this Wednesday, the final day of January, the 31st. Dalton, how's it going?
It is going great for me. No complaints. Baseball season's starting up. That's my favorite.
It's about to.
So I'm about to be super excited in a
few
weeks.
Yeah, man. Me too. Yeah, and it's a busy week, man. Got a lot of stuff going on, not just games, just some other stuff, a little bit of news here and there. And like you said, baseball's getting fired up. I guess that means softball is going to be here before we know it too. And, of course, all the other spring sports will be right around the corner, golf, tennis, track, all that fun stuff. So it's really kind of the busiest time of year is what we're getting into.
We're about to be busy.
Into basketball and all the spring stuff starting up. And we got a lot to get to today. Of course, we had a couple of big events last Saturday, the Hotbed Classic, the Robertson Classic. I want to touch on those, look back at a couple of other games from recent days, look ahead a little bit, talk a little bit of baseball. We'll have Athletes of the Week, as we always do. So try to squeeze it all in here in about 15 to 20 minutes time. Just a reminder that you can find this podcast every Wednesday. We're in iTunes or any of your podcast apps. And you can stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Let's start with the Hotbed. Dalton, always a good event over there at New Albany. Had a lot of really good games. The one we focused on, Saltillo, one of the better teams in our area, taking on a squad from Arlington, Tennessee, which I think coming in had a record of like 5-9, but a deceptive record. They played a lot of out-of-state competition, some good teams, and obviously a very good team themselves.
Yeah, they were the record was definitely deceptive. They were a very good team. But the Saltillo team that I saw on Saturday really wasn't the Saltillo team I've seen earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Usually they're doing a lot. Like when they played Morville, they scored, I think it was 90% of their points in the paint. And then they go in there on Saturday and they shoot 18 threes, only hit three of them.
Yeah.
You know, they only shot 30% from the floor in the game altogether. They put up 42 points, was their lowest of the season. I think the only other time they scored in the 40s was whenever they lost to Corinth earlier in the season.
Wow.
So yeah. They just didn't look – they didn't click offensively ever. They took a – they played well defensively, though. I mean, they did take a lead there at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah.
And they were never out of the game. But they just really couldn't handle Garrett Golday for Arlington. He was just – he's a big man. He was bigger than everybody on Saltillo's team and just could do whatever he wanted in the paint, it seemed like. But, I mean – Arlington had a hand in each Saltillo player's face. Every time they shot, it didn't matter if they were shooting from in the paint or if they were shooting 10 foot behind the three-point range. They were always pressuring them, so it was a really good defensive effort by them.
Yeah, this seems like maybe an off day for Saltillo. They bounced back Tuesday and beat Lafayette, as you would expect. Saltillo, our number three team in the area. So the Hotbed, though, how much did you get to stay and watch other games? There's a lot of good matchups there.
I think I stayed and watched four games. I watched the game that was right before Saltillo, it was Holly Springs, and
so you got to see DaQuan Smith.
Yes,
really good player.
They were really good. They ended up losing. The team they played was just unreal good. And then I watched Callaway and North Panola. Got to see the KJ Jefferson kid, the really good football star for North Panola, and then Callaway just. It seems like they couldn't miss. They were up 20-30 points, and they were just hitting three after three after three.
Wow,
but I didn't stay and watch Columbus. There was the game after that, but I got to see them last night when they blew out Tupelo.
Yeah. Tupelo's boys went down there and had a tough loss to Columbus, Robert Woodard and those guys. But anyway, that's the Hotbed, always a good event. And of course, we had the Robertson there, and we're going to talk about Ingemar here in a minute. The girls, what they did down there. Let's talk about some Ripley boys basketball. They're kind of hot right now, and it kind of a big reason is Iverson Smith. If y'all didn't see the Twitter the video on Twitter the other night, the Ripley guard hit a nearly half court shot to beat Senatobia on the road, a huge division win for Ripley. I think at that point they were going into that game, they were 4-3 in division, had been struggling maybe a little bit, and then they got that, and then they come back and beat Byhalia on Tuesday. another big division win, 54-50. And so it looks like Ripley is really starting to assert itself in the division race, although I think now Corinth is in first.
Yeah, say whenever they upset Senatobia, it kind of pushed them down into second place with them because they were above everybody else. But then upsetting Byhalia the other day to put Corinth in sole possession. I think Corinth has won, I think, 11 in a row.
Yeah, they're red hot.
10, 11 in a row. And they started off 0-2 in division. Now they're 7-2. So
yeah, and they beat Ripley, was it last week?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, Corinth did. Yeah, and, so it's a fun division right now.
But I think there's four teams right there that are within one game of winning that division right now.
Wow.
Or being in first place.
Yeah, that's a 1-4-A.
And Ripley right now is doing it without Montre Mason. He went out with a knee injury. I don't know how serious it is that he went and got an MRI on it, but they've played the last two, three games without him. So
yeah.
He's their second leading scorer with right at 10 points a game.
Wow, yeah. But, man, that buzzer beater. I mean, he stepped inside. I think they were down.
They were down two.
2 points. And he steps across half court and just launches it, and it goes in. And you got to talk to him, didn't you, a little bit about it?
Yeah, I did. He said he was very nervous, but the team told him, I guess they took a timeout. The team just told him, hey, you're getting the ball. You can do what you can with it.
Yeah.
He said he just threw it up there. He was nervous, and he couldn't believe it went in.
Yeah. It's usually hard to believe when it does. Usually it doesn't. But Iverson's just a really good player there for Ripley. So, yeah, the Tigers are – we're playing awfully well right now. New Sights boys, you got to see them, I think, on what day was that?
I think it was Friday night.
Friday, yeah. Against Baldwin, rallied for a 54-51 win. They've since also beaten Walnut on Monday and Strayhorn on Tuesday. Now 23-2 is New Sights. That's one of the better teams in the area. We've got them ranked currently number 7.
Yeah, I've seen New Sights play twice this year now, and it was both against Baldwin, once in the Prentice County tournament and then the other night. And it was a very competitive game. New Sights, Britton Morgan and Ramsey Ivy were just way too much for Baldwin. They each threw down, I think, one or two dunks apiece. And one of them, Ramsey Ivy's dunk was nasty. It was good. But Baldwin stayed in the game. Michael Crump kept them in the game over and over and over again. It just seemed like whenever they needed points, he scored. That was his best offensive game I've seen from him all year. And they ended up taking the lead. Baldwin was up, and then New Sights just went on a little second half run.
Yeah, Baldwin's been kind of a funny team this year. They've had some really bad games, and they've had some really nice wins. They had this game where they played a really good New Sights team, really tough. It was Wheeler they beat in the Prentice County tournament, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, Baldwin did, which, you know, again, that's one of our top 10 teams. So Baldwin usually is a good team. It looks like they're just trying to find some consistency right now.
It seems like they don't really know how to close out games is what's happened. I mean, they led New Sights by 7 right there. Like, right, I think it was early in the fourth quarter, late in the third, and then they just ended up losing by, I think, 7, something like that. Over losing by 3.
Yeah. So there you go. And then one more quick game to recap. I went down to the Aberdome Tuesday night. I got to see Aberdeen's girls hosting Houston. That was a big division game there in 3-4A. Excuse me, in 4-3A. And Aberdeen gets the win 65-40, jumped out to a quick lead and just really kind of overwhelmed Houston, especially in the post. Tamara Sykes and Jasmine Braylock both had good games in there, scoring and rebounding. Sykes had 18 points and Braylock had 12, and both just really controlled the boards on both ends, had some blocked shots. I mean, just Houston couldn't get anything going inside the paint. So that makes Aberdeen now 4-0 in division, and they can clinch the division on Friday by beating Choctaw County. So good season being had there by Lorenzo Conley's group. Glad to get back down to Aberdeen. Hadn't been there in a while. Now, the boys' team is struggling, which is unusual, but this is the third year in a row they're going to have a losing season. I actually caught up with the interim head coach, Marcus Burnett, talked to him a little bit. I have an update on Thursday on the boys and trying to get that winning culture back at Aberdeen, because most years they've been one of the best teams in the area, and you know, they just recently honored their 2008 state championship team. I covered that team when Roy Hazel was coach, and you know, so they're trying to get back to that. But anyway, so that's just a recap of some recent high school basketball action. Looking ahead real quick, Ingomar's girls they added a game to their schedule this week. Saturday, going to host Jackson Academy, which is the reigning champ in the MAIS Class 4A. That's the private schools. And so they're having another fine year. Of course, Ingemar has won two straight titles in 2A. And on Saturday, Ingemar defeated Spain Park out of Alabama, 55-37. Spain Park, the 7A runner-up in Alabama last year. So that's quite the win. And then last night, Ingemar about got beat. They did not lead Belmont until the buzzer sounded. They had a late steal and layup to beat Belmont by 2 points. And that was a really good non-division matchup. Belmont, of course, in 3A. And I know Chris Higginbottom is probably sick after seeing that one slip away, because his team did not trail until that last second bucket. I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was Lauren Hall that made the layup as the horn went off.
I saw the score whenever I was at the game in Columbus, and I looked at Twitter, and they were down, I think it was like 24-16 or something at halftime. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, 49-47 was the final. And so, Lindsey Hall. I'm sorry, did I say Lauren? I think Lindsey Hall is the one who hit the bucket. So anyway, forgive me if I'm wrong about that. But Ingemar, I guess, is mortal. I don't know if they had an off night, or I mean, Belmont's a really good team.
They are.
Let's give them credit. They're one of the best teams in the area. But played better coming off. They lost to Kossuth last week. Lost to Tupelo on Saturday. And between those, had wins over Red Bay, and then Monday they beat North Pontotoc, and then almost got Ingemar, man. And not many people have come close to Ingemar this year.
Yeah, it might be good for Ingemar, though. Sometimes you need a game to kind of, get your head back straight sometimes.
Certainly. I'm sure Trent Adair is hoping that maybe that catches their attention as we draw close to the postseason. Hey, let's talk some baseball real quick before we get out of here, Dalton. Will Lowry, the head coach at TCPS, Tupelo Christian, is leaving after this season. He's going to take the athletics director job at Blue Mountain College. And Will has had a lot of success there at TCPS. He's won a state title there. Has led them to the playoffs every year. And so he's really built that program basically from the ground up at TCPS. And interesting move. I'm going to go talk to him tomorrow to kind of do a follow-up on it. Of course, he replaces Will Kohlmeyer, who left a few months ago. And then Harvey Childers, the longtime area basketball coach around here, he took over on an interim basis. So Will Lowry now we'll take that job. So that'll be interesting to see what happens there. And then high school baseball practices start this week, don't they, Dalton?
Yeah, they started Monday. And the way I was looking at it, there is a lot of good teams in our area. I didn't realize just how rich of talent there was in here. And Tupelo, defending 6A state champions. So I'm going to go check out today. I'm going to spend the practice with them and see how good they are looking this year.
Yeah,
and then Morville, of course, won 3A last year, moved up to 4A this year, yeah. And then East Union was given the 2A title after.
Yeah,
I don't remember who they lost to.
Lloyd Starr,
I think it was Lloyd Starr. Yeah,
had some ineligible players, and they won it the year before East Union did, and then last year lost to Lloyd Starr, but the MHSAA is giving them that after the Lloyd Starr situation.
Yeah,
so a lot of good teams as usual around.
Yeah, and especially excited for Oxford going up to 6A in that division with Tupelo. That's going to be fun.
Yes, it will. Oxford's always good. So yeah, we'll have updates on that. Dalton again going out to Tupelo to talk to Justin Reed and those guys. He'll have an update later this week on the Golden Wave. That brings us to the athletes of the week. We do this every week, honor male and female athlete for their accomplishments from the past week. Thus, the title Athletes of the Week. That's how that works. Female Athlete of the Week, Morgan Hodum of Kossuth. Kossuth. How do you say it, Dalton?
Kossuth.
Kossuth. I think that's how I usually say it, Kossuth. I think up there maybe they say Kossuth, like they say Corinth.
I think I said Kossuth once and someone said, it's Kossuth.
Sorry.
What do you mean?
I'm not from around here. but anyway, she had a good game Saturday against New Site, 52-41 win for Kossuth or Kossuth, whatever. She had 19 points. And that's a good win, and Kossuth remains undefeated, Dalton. I think you texted me the other night after that win. I think it was after the Newsite win. You're like, yeah, they've been starting to prove it because they've really picked up some quality wins lately.
Yeah, and they talked about even Coach Chris Bird even said, our own fans are talking bad about how our schedule's been. And then they've beaten and Belmont now.
Right,
they've beaten Newsite. They're proving that the record's not lying.
Yeah, and let's be honest, the early schedule was not the strongest.
They got a – no, it wasn't, but – I think Friday's really going to prove their worth. They got Boonville on Friday. Let's see if they can handle Shamaya Williams.
Yeah, and she's been playing very well lately. In fact, she was our Athlete of the Week the two previous weeks before this. But congrats to Morgan Hodum. And then our Male Athlete of the Week, Zay Neal of Biggersville. He's had a nice little stretch here the last three games. He had 24 points Tuesday night in a win over Pine Grove at 28. On Friday in a win against Thrasher, and on Thursday against TCPS at 16 points. So Biggersville playing pretty well since the departure of Devontae Spears, who was their leading scorer earlier this month. He left the team. And so Biggersville now leaning a lot, looks like, on Zay Neal, among others. But he's had a nice stretch there. So congrats to those two for being Athletes of the Week. And that does it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for joining us. Again, you can catch this show every Wednesday in iTunes or listen in any of your podcast apps or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps for high school sports updates. Every day, several times a day. Follow Dalton at DLMiddleton8. You can follow me at Brad Locke. That's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for joining us. We will see you next week.